Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
KJ and Lyons, WEEI, thank you so much for spending your time here. 617-779-7937, that's how you reach us and text us. That is the Federal Bureau of Investigation discussing the release, well, actually the Department of Justice. FBI discussing their findings and the indictments regarding Damon Jones, Terry Rozier, and Chauncey Billups. So, John, as soon as I saw the news on, what was it, Friday? What did it drop down Friday or Thursday?
Okay, a few days, within the last few days, yeah.
A couple of days, they all run together. I text you, I was just like, oh, wow. But we kind of knew about this Terry Rozier game. This is nothing new that's known to us in the sports world, right? That there was a question about him leaving a game early, his under props hit, reported the gambling arms, reported the unusual activity to the NBA. Terry Rozier, quote-unquote, was pretty much gone for the rest of the year due to an injury, but now they believe that, hey, might have been just to keep him on ice. I guess what's tough about what we're seeing here is, and I'll say this from this perspective because I do some work with BetMGM, you know, sometimes some fill-in stuff is, you know, the biggest thing you have to realize is you have to play responsibly. There's a reason why there's an age, you have to be a certain age to do this. John, I know you're not a big gambler and everything like that, and it's perfectly fine. I totally get it. I'm not really that big of a gambler. I just like to look at different angles of things. But there are some people who have this dependency as a problem. And what I would see as a problem is people who are not getting help, seeking help on things that did not pay out for them. Does that make you see what I'm saying, John? Like, if there are people who are struggling with these different types of issues with gambling and are not seeking help, but yet seeking help to try and go after guys who are becoming the face of this, right? If you're watching a DraftKings commercial in the NBA, it's LeBron James and Kevin Hart all day. It's Kevin Garnett in there. They're going after the NBA, I believe, on a kind of a low because gambling on games are so prevalent. And I would say that the one thing you'd have to know when you gamble is the goal is the house is trying to always win. Always win.
And I think we've seen in the last few years, right, Shohei Ohtani's interpreter in baseball goes to jail. And I know some people say, roll their eyes, and they say, oh, well, of course it was Ohtani, whatever. It was his interpreter that got convicted, right? So he's in jail. Then remember Kayshawn Booty of the New England Patriots got arrested for placing bets, you know, with a fake account or whatever. Now you have this scandal.
But that was when he was in college, correct?
Right, it was. Yes. But now you have this scandal in the NBA. Like, and I know, like, the Billups stuff was poker games, but, I mean, it's not that big of a leap to think, well, if he's involved in poker games, did any of it bleed over into basketball games? And even if it didn't, now it puts that cloud of suspicion over everything that Billups has done and the Portland Trailblazers have done in the past few years. And so it's one of those situations where it sucks from the standpoint of, yes, gambling's a huge enterprise. Yes, it makes a lot of money. But as a sports fan, at the core, the fact that it's fair and on the level is the basis of everything, right? Like, right. If you think the game is not fair, like, I mean, I'm sitting here in the studio and I'm just looking up at the screen and it's Vanderbilt, Missouri. if I didn't think that game was on the level and I thought it was predetermined someone was going to win, I wouldn't be looking up at the screen watching it, right? Same thing with the Celtics last night, the World Series tonight, you name it. Like, that's the core of all this. And when you see, and look, this isn't brand new, right? The Chicago White Sox threw a World Series
that's what I was going to say. Like, as soon as there's been a sport, there's been a wager. Right. And since there's been the history of a wager, there's been someone who's tried to affect the wager. When it was the worst was the college basketball point-shaving scandals in the late 50s into the early 60s. Again, the way that, you know, people in the gambling world will tell you, the way you handle this is that you make this kind of a legal thing widespread, because had there not been a legal house in place, there would be more room for illegal activities. So to me,
can I just make a point on that? Because I think you bring up a good thing. Like, if you look at these two situations, the Chauncey Billups thing, whether betting on games is illegal or not, that was a shady backroom thing that was illegal.
That's on the illegal side, correct.
But the Rozier thing, the reason he got caught was because gambling was legalized,
correct,
right? They flagged these. And by the way, like, there's some smart criminals out there. There's also some stupid ones. Like, you didn't think placing $200,000 on Terry freaking Rozier wasn't going to raise some red flags, but that's a side note. Like, so,
well, actually, that's actually probably more of a front page story, even though Terry Rozier is bigger than most. And Malik Beasley situation, which he's been so far clear from.
Jonte Porter was the other one,
well,
right?
Well, now you're getting into, why is there a prop on a ninth or tenth person on the bench?
And Adam Silver talked about that, and I don't know if it was, it wasn't in the interview during the Celtics game last night. It was like a previous interview.
Where
I think
it was like, huh?
I actually think it was on the McAfee show he talked about earlier this week, but he said they're thinking about trying to get rid of props on end of the bench or two-way contract player guys, because those guys might come in garbage time or something like that.
Well, that's when they come in.
And
that's been the running joke, is the worst thing you can happen that can happen is, let's say it's Oklahoma City versus the Nets, okay? And let's say that line is like 17.5, okay? But when all the starters come out of the game, let's say the lead is at 20-21.
And there's, okay, like, say, 3 minutes to go.
No, it's even less than that. It's usually about 90 seconds to 2 minutes. So now it's like, okay, damn, you're putting the worst people in here. And now how do I not know that the next four, there's suddenly four baskets to come that's going to be the Olay. And now my hitting of OKC of over 17.5 is going to hit because of the bench time. I totally agree with that. Like, there should not be prop bets on guys who depend on those type of monies for a living, right?
Yeah, like I wonder,
if you're
a two-way
player,
line? Is it just quote-unquote starters you can place prop bets on? Is it, because how do you determine, like, this is the eighth guy on the bench versus, like, I agree with you, and I agree with Adam Silver. I do agree. I'm just curious, like, where is that line? Like, is Anfernee Simons a guy, because now he's coming off the bench, you wouldn't be able to place a prop bet on? Or is it just, you know, Chris Boucher that you can't, like, you know what I mean? Like,
maybe a previous threshold minutes. Like, you have to meet an X amount of minutes played before. Like, if you're named as a starter, right? Let's say you're this ninth guy on the bench and suddenly you become a starter, you're the starter for that game, then yeah, I think, you know, you'd have to allow that prop bet to be in there. But you would probably have to at least either log a certain amount of minutes over previous games in order to qualify for that prop, for a prop to, because you know, Javante Turner, Porter, Michael Porter's younger brother. I mean, gosh, if I'm on a two-way and I'm eating the leftover Subway sandwiches or whatever sandwich meat is left in the, and someone says to me, because those are the ones who are the easiest to approach without any detection, are the guys you don't expect to see. Like Terry Rozier, we've joked all about, you remember, because we joked about how I was behind him in a Watertown Chipotle some years ago. And now I'm thinking, like, if I could see through him now, I guess, like, could I have talked to him then? No, totally kidding. But, you know, those are the ones that you have the issues with. The Malik Beasley was going to be an issue because that's your runner-up sixth man of the year. You know, it's these end of the games where a lot of these things are happening, you know, and I think they're probably going to probably look at how many legs can be in a parlay.
My 17-leg parlay.
I think that's the other thing of it, because part of it is, and you're hearing players mention, I'll tell you what, we'll pick up this conversation on the other side of the break. KJ Lines, 617-779-7937 here on WEEI. It's time.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The trend, WEEI. Thank you so much for being here. Like, it's funny, John, because I come from morning radio. I played R&B here in town. Gosh, that's probably been, how long has that station been gone? We're playing R&B. Let's say it was 2017, 18, somewhere around 2019. Yeah, kind of a void. Hey, man, you're the Luther Vandross guy. I'm like, I'm not Luther Vandross. I'm KJ. So, but yeah, so it's, you know, to hear these type of different songs mixed in there is kind of a, kind of an ode to a time for long gone, though we never played Shook once. That's, you know, but you did hear, like, I think I played like D-Train's Keep On. You're like, oh, they Lance, just kind of a little nod to the fan base that you liked R&B. And you ever watch the show City on a Hill, John?
No, I know of it. I haven't seen it.
Okay, so it's a dead show. It got canceled, and I think the real reason why was COVID. But looking back, season three was kind of bad. But one of the best episodes is around a Nita Baker concert from like years ago. Like, I was like, and they say that this place can't take R&B. Huh. All right. We've been talking about Celtics. We'll get to Bruins. We will get to more of the Patriots getting ready for the Cleveland game tomorrow. It's just been a really busy week. The FBI probe as well. 617-779-7937. Jason, let's get some more of the text on the line, see what people are thinking as they move about on their Saturday listening to KJ Lines.
It wasn't a text, but we had a caller say that you guys missed the layup on Ramondre Stevenson. Should have been Butterfingers.
Yeah.
I was going to go that way, honestly, but because Vrabel has forgiven him, so maybe I too should forgive him. So that's why I'm like, because I was going to go Butterfingers right away. I was just like, nah, you know, Vrabel gave him a chance. And maybe if I don't want to speak Butterfingers over him the night before, and then what happens tomorrow, Butterfingers. Like, KJ jinxed him, because you know we're superstitious people here. So KJ jinxed him. Don't call him Butterfingers anymore. So, but Butterfingers was at the top of my mind.
The curse, and that's why of I'm KJ.
Yeah, curse of KJ,
it's like the
right?
Curse of the Bambino. Yeah, similar thing.
Yeah, we're both big guys, right? Another mention.
603 texter says, I have a strong feeling that Jaylen Brown is going to have a terrible season and the fans will give him hell.
You know, they did kind of give him hell when they didn't do well against Golden State in the finals. You remember?
Like, he was good in the finals.
He was good in the finals, but people pointed all their venom to him.
Well, and I think back to two above all, that game seven against Miami when Tatum sprained his ankle. And
yeah.
And JB, what do you have? 7 or 8 turnovers in that game. Well, I don't even remember the exact number.
Yeah, but when Miami kept forcing him to go to the paint, yeah. Like dribble
and
right here, we'll take it from him.
If you remember, so that was actually
the
summer.
Last night.
That was the summer I got hired here at EEI, and a lot of my early shows, we had people calling in saying not to give him the Supermax and to not give him an extension or to try to sign and trade. Like that, it was a minority of people, but it was not that small a minority of people that were not on board with giving him the Supermax. And do some of those people, like if he has a bad year, and again, he was good against Philly, he was not good against the Knicks. If he has a bad year, do some of those people come back out of the woodwork and say, hey, you know, don't break up the Jays, but we told you all along, JB's not the guy. Like, I wonder if we, again, not to get ahead of ourselves, but I do wonder if we start hearing some of that.
And maybe that's the master plan, like, maybe I'll get them so upset they will trade me to the Hawks and I can go home. I can go home.
Play with Porzingis again.
Yeah, I mean, that's his guy.
That is. Cookies and cream.
Another text, Jason. What you got?
617, they needed to keep Al Horford.
They couldn't.
They could.
I mean, they would have gone back in the second April. So technically, yes, they could have.
Yeah, well, I guess if you felt like I felt like Horford was going to leave. I think he felt like, you know what? Mission accomplished.
Yeah.
If I'm the championship whisperer, I need to go somewhere where I feel like they might have a better chance to win a championship, right? If Tatum doesn't get hurt, I think Horford probably says, I'm going to come back here. I'll probably come back.
I agree with you.
I think because once Tatum went down, I'd be like, shoot, you saw what they did to me. I'd have to go out of the country and play. Okay.
I am surprised, though, he went to a Western Conference team, because not only like has his whole family lived here for the last like
decade. No travel to Toronto, right? There.
But also, like, the West is so loaded. I was a little surprised. Like, I wasn't. Once Tatum got hurt, I agree with you. I was not surprised that he left. I was a little surprised he went all the way out west.
One more text, and then we'll get back into the conversation. Thank you so much for your conversation with us.
Another 617 texter says, minimum 3 or 4 leg parlays so that you can't have that many people fix it, LOL.
Yeah, because you can always adjust the odds to what you want them to be. But it's like, if you really, like, because here's the thing. You see a lot of people stack them with, like, a bunch of easy wins to try and stack them super high to get a super high payout. Right, like I say, I could go through the whole NFL schedule, take all the favorites, put $10 down, and then like I'll have an impressive leg. You know, I think it gets to a point where either you're gonna have to force them into plus money, like one of your parlays must have you must play at least half your parlay must be plus money. Then you're taking a greater risk, which means there's a higher probability it's not going to hit. And there are different things, but you know, getting to 8 and 10 legs, you know. I've been guilty. When I first got here to the station, I used to do this thing called the Squid Games. It used to be, how much could you stuff inside of a parlay to get to $1 million? One of them hit. I didn't play it, but one of them hit. People were like, you didn't play it? You're absolutely crazy. Like, what's the point of doing it? I was like, wow.
And, you know, and not to be draconian, but I wonder, is the solution just, if you're a pro athlete, you can't bet on any sports at all? Because you know how some of these, like if you're an MLB player, you can bet on football. And if you're an NFL player, I think you can bet on other sports. And they do, like, I feel like there's so many potential gray areas when you get into that, that, hey, you have the privilege and the honor of being a pro athlete. And yes, it's hard work. And yes, you know, it takes a lot to get there, but you get to make millions of dollars as a pro athlete. So the price of that is you can't bet on any sports at all in any capacity.
But then you'd probably get into a potential suit in terms of like, okay, why? Like if I can't bet on my own sport, I totally understand that because that involves the integrity of the game that I play in. I have access and knowledge of things beyond. Just the same way like in our industry, you hear all these people talk about ratings, but the reason why
I lost a big bet on Greg Hill on that Marconi, man. Damn. My parlay on the Marconi.
1-800-GAMBLER.
Yeah.
Not big deal. Gamble one. No, but seriously, there are things that we know behind the walls that would get us in trouble if we started talking a little more. But if I wanted to say, hey, I think this particular podcast over here is only going to do such and such and such and such. No one should come to me and say, oh, you can't bet that because you know how different metrics work. I'm like, well, those are not my metrics. Those are other metrics. So if a pro football player wants to bet on a pro basketball game, he should be able to, right? But he shouldn't be able to bet on a pro football game, and he probably shouldn't be allowed to bet on a college football game. Because, again, there are things that you know, right? Because he's come from some college, and there are things he may know that go on even back at college.
Yeah, and that's a good point, too, because think about it, right? Like, let's say you're a really good high school football player. Let's just start there. And you go to Alabama, okay?
Right.
And then what if you text your high school coach like, hey, you know, this guy's not playing for Bama, and all of a sudden that high school coach has an advantage? Or
my roommate got sick and the roommate happens to be RB1.
Or you make it all the way to the NFL and then you're telling your buddies from back home, because this is kind of similar to things that happened with Terry Rozier. You're telling your buddies like, hey, you know, like my roommate on the road is our starting left tackle and he's really hobbled and he's not going to play in this, or he's not going to be good in this game. Like, that's like, I almost think it'd be better if you're going to be a pro athlete, you just can't bet on sports at all. Because even if you're an NFL player, and
what else would you bet on?
You just go to the casino and play blackjack, like whatever, or don't bet.
But the numbers say, hey, like, everybody, the money is in the mobile gaming.
Yeah, right? I hear you.
Because if I go to a casino, I might bring attention to myself that I don't need from other people there, where if I do it on my phone, I could be home in the safety of my own confines and do it there. look, am I a big fan of, I'll put it this way. At the end of the day, an athlete, that's just their job, right? There are some things that I would say that you can't do betting on your job, right? We couldn't, like, I couldn't make a bet on the numbers for the radio stations, how they would rank in New York City next month, knowing I have access to seeing something that could tell me what's leading into what. Like, so I couldn't do that. But if I wanted to bet on a horse, nobody's stopping me from betting on a horse.
Yeah, no, but I just think when it comes to pro athletes and coaches and all, like, here's like where it worries
coaches,
me.
I think are different because they're management, right?
Yeah.
Management should not be betting on any of the sports at all. Just because now, hey, head football coach and head basketball coach at college university may be around each other quite a bit, right? Head football coach should not be betting on head basketball coach's games.
Well, what I'm saying too is, like, if you're Terry Rozier and you're playing for the Miami Heat, well, maybe you know some Miami Dolphins players, and maybe you find something out, and now that gives you an advantage. And then maybe other people find out that you know these things, and then it becomes this gambling ring. You know, like,
that's
going to
be on Rozier. You see what I'm saying?
No, and it is on him, but I think if you just have the rule where you guys can't do this, I think it makes it much more easier and black and white. And look, there's always going to be illegal gambling. It's always, right. I get it. And it's, you're never going to eradicate it. I wish you could, but you can't. But I think they've allowed for too many great, like Adam Silver even said, he's hoping for more regulation, which you usually don't hear out of sports leagues. But
right.
I think you've allowed a lot of these leagues for just too many gray areas. Like, sports got legal, the betting got legalized, and it's like the floodgates open. It's almost like NIL in college sports. Like, it got legalized, and then the floodgates just opened. And I think they've allowed themselves too many gray areas. They're like, yeah, so Rozier got caught because of legal gambling. That's a good thing.
Here's what I think is going to happen just in terms of the whole lay of the land. In order for you to operate any type of books, you're going to have to be a state license. You're going to have a license in a particular, at least in a particular state. And it's going to have to be a full gaming license, right? It's going to have to be a full sports betting license. So you can't, some of these that have popped up where in those states, they don't have legalized gaming, but they do have prop betting. That's where they're going to go after. So it's not like they're going to get rid of props. They're going to say, hey, if you're an operator and you're operating prop bets in the state of Georgia and Georgia doesn't have sports gaming legal, they're going to try and shut that off. I think that's where it's coming. Like, if you're operating in states where gambling isn't illegal, there are no sports books in like South Carolina and Georgia, like the state of Florida, there's only one and you have to go through the Seminole tribe. So they're really going to say, you're going to have to get, if you're going to do these prop bets, it's going to have to be through these particular ones that are already licensed and approved by the state to relieve the burden on the league. Because low key, this is kind of a shot to take at LeBron, because even, I don't know if you saw the video that Gilbert Arenas put out, that Gilbert Arenas says that he would sue for defamation for anybody who's going around saying that he was the snitch in all of this. And all I would say is, Gilbert, let's see, legal poker game at your house with guys that don't speak English, illegal poker games with guys that do speak English, but both have the same general area in the Mediterranean. Like, no, everybody is on watch. It doesn't matter. Gilbert Arenas says, I have nothing to do with that. And I would say, okay, you can tell us that until all the paperwork comes out about everything. Because I think with the Chauncey Billups one situation, I think that is much bigger than we know. Not necessarily with him.
That's a good point.
But what these guys being able to do in the confines of their homes. I mean, for God's sakes, Gilbert Arenas had his image and likeness on the table using a Wizards jersey, right? Like, did you get clearance even to have the Wizards jersey on your back on the table? So, like, if you're now branding your tables, that probably set off, you know, like the little blue light special that used to be in Kmart, the old store, or, you know, old Bradley's or what have you. Light going off saying, wait a minute, because that's how you can get to some serious, serious international wealth if you're able to set up these illegal gaming tables. This is how you get international people coming to play for millions and millions of dollars without the regulations that you have of the gaming houses that are already set up through the states. That's where the bigger issue is. That's why the whole thing about having Chauncey Billups there to beat up kind of a distraction of what they're saying. No, what it really was is, how do we get some of these pro faces slip them some pocket money. Because people are like, they make all this money. I'm like, okay, but some of y'all make the same argument about like fatherless children and these guys have, where do you think the money may go? Like, they don't, the money's not just going to be in their pocket just because of what they made. So, and plus you have a lifestyle to maintain. So the ones that could probably get as close to you to do that without a lot of alarms going off is these small private one-to-one meetings with these people in the underworld. I mean, when I heard the names that were said, I said, I thought Giuliani got rid of all these people.
I actually thought that too.
I thought that too.
I think too, and I know some people when they've read the indictments, they think that was a conspirator number 8 might be Chauncey Billups, and he's not named in all of it, but some of that fits his description. Mm. Like, it's so easy, and I think we all kind of know this, and maybe Billups should have known better, or maybe he didn't care, but it's so easy to go from I'm sitting at an illegal poker table cheating with the mob to, hey, let's make a little more money and you make sure you keep your starters in garbage time so you hit the over in a couple weeks. Or, hey, make sure you sit out your starters this week so you hit the under. And they need rest anyway, so just sit them out and we'll work together. Like, it's so easy to go from A to B. And I think, and it wouldn't surprise me if we find out that some, like, I'm not saying that Billups intentionally threw games. We don't know that. But it wouldn't shock me if I found out, oh, one night Billups kept starters in to make sure his team covered the spread. Or one night he took them out a little early so he didn't cover the spread.
Or the foul against the Celtics.
Yeah, I know. I was kind of alluding to that. But, like, you know what? Like, it's so easy to go from sitting at that illegal poker table to then translating it. Because what Billups is, he's in a, there's only 30 coaches in the NBA. There's only 30 head coaches. There's 30 of them in the whole world. So if you have access to one of those guys that can give you an advantage, that's an advantage that most people in the world, betting-wise, would not have. So
just putting my gumshoe hat on here a second. I don't really think Billups is the fish they're going after, right? Because they're saying, hey, if Billups is in these illegal games, you may not want to go too far and find out who else are at these illegal games because they may have relationships at very high levels to the level where, let's say, the people who are bringing the charges are suddenly told, yeah, let that go. Why? Don't even worry about it. Let that go.
And actually, like, one more point on that. Like, there came out that, like, Kevin Garnett was at some of these games. And just use him as an example, right? He's a Hall of Fame, famous, elite, all-time NBA player.
He does ads for DraftKings.
And he's also a member of the media. So maybe he's sitting at that poker table and he just makes an offhand comment like, oh, you know, so-and-so is dealing with an ankle injury and I think it's worse than people think. Even if he's not doing that intentionally, now everyone at that table just got an extra unfair advantage.
Do you know who I believe is really the target of who they're really trying to get to? LeBron James.
Yeah, well, that's where Damon Jones, like, Damon raises Jones. The eyebrows.
Right, because Damon Jones, you're like, wow, they pulled some out from years ago. Damon Jones hasn't been in the league for years. But when he had mentioned that, hey, LeBron has an injury and he passed that on to somebody, it becomes a one of two questions. Either A, did Damon Jones know this himself and pass it on? Or B, was that information given to him by LeBron James? And that's where I think the sniffing around is. Even if they can get it to a 50-50 chance, they got LeBron James' name out of somebody's mouth. So Chauncey Billups, yeah, probably not going to coach in the NBA anymore. I don't think he's going to do any jail time. I don't even think his name becomes as important. I think it's all about pushing, because the Rozier thing, that wasn't anything new. The Chauncey Billups thing, that wasn't anything on the court. And the Damon Jones is the only one that has LeBron James' name in his mouth. And LeBron James did not play opening night. So this is where I think the energy is going to try and push is, well, who else did LeBron James tell that he wasn't feeling well? And was there other people that had this information that was handed? I think that's who they really want, because LeBron James has shown himself to have an adverse position to the current administration. And this is where I think the Damon Jones, because they could have had Damon Jones a long time ago. They could have had Damon Jones 5 years ago. Like, what did they say? The game about was like 2018?
It was a long time. If I remember right, it was a long time ago.
Like 7-8 years ago. And the Terry Rozier thing was just 2 years ago. So to me, the Terry Rozier thing, while it's nothing new, it brings up something new. The Chauncey Billups thing is kind of like, okay, you could just have the wrong people at the wrong house or what have you, and playing poker cards. And some people say, well, what's the big deal about having a poker game at my house? It's just that it's him and who are the people at the poker game. But Damon Jones saying, yeah, insider trading is the term that the feds used, was about LeBron James. This is, I think, who they want to get to in any way possible, especially to potentially murk up an opportunity for him to be an owner. Because if he gets dragged through the mud, even if it's nothing more than, did you tell him or did he find out on his own? And if that drags out as you're trying to decide who's going to be the purchasing group, and if you're FSG, you might like, we might have to withdraw our bid just because the NBA is going to say, we cannot have this guy as an owner with all this stuff being muddied up by the political, political establishment. I think that's just what it comes down to.
Yeah. I mean,
is this KJ's last show ever on a federally regulated license?
Yeah.
Stadium?
Right. And like with Billups, like, I think that's a bigger story to your point than the Rozier thing, because like I said, it's so easy for that poker game to then bleed over into him doing things in games. And if Billups is a Hall of Famer, if Billups is a head coach, if Billups is a star, it's not unreasonable to think that they're also trying to see if there's any other Hall of Fame level people or other stars that are connected to this.
KJ and Lyons, 617-779-7937. That's the telephone number as well as the text line. We'll get to your messages next here on WEEI.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
KJ and Lyons, WEEI, thank you so much for spending some time here. You missed any of the show? The Odyssey app is absolutely free. Type in WEEI. Then you can play back chapter by chapter. Really, you can go back through the whole course of the day. We're just asking if you want to go back the last 2.5, almost 3 hours. We got to plenty here, and still have to get to what is going to be the bigger heartbreak this year, the Celtics or the Bruins.
I feel like this has been the busiest show we've had in like 2 months because there's just so much going on this weekend.
If you would have thought, let's say at the beginning, let's say January 1st this year, that the Celtics, January 1st this year, that by the end of the year, you would say the Celtics and the Bruins would be heading for probably disastrous seasons, and the Patriots and the Red Sox were going to be the playoff-worthy teams. Think about that.
Yeah, especially in the Celtics case. And obviously, look, you can't predict injuries and Tatum's right. Achilles, so we'd be having a different conversation. But yeah, I think and the Bruins on January 1st were in the midst of a bad season. But remember, the Patriots on January 1st, Gerard Mayo was still the head coach, and they were still really, really bad. The Red Sox, they had Crochet and Chapman then.
Oh, wait,
but they didn't
have Gerard Mayo got fired 2 days after the last season. So
right,
he was gone.
January 1st. Yeah.
Yeah, he was already gone.
No, he was. The season ended like January 8th.
That's right. That's
so
right.
Technically,
I keep thinking he's been
gone
like
beat
since
Buffalo
last December.
To start the year.
That's right.
The year on a high note.
Tell me that didn't feel like a December 15th game.
Oh, man. Honestly, that feels like it was like 3 years ago.
It really does. 617-779-7937. We will be getting to Just a Jag here in 2 minutes. Let's get to some more of your text messages. Jason, what you got?
Yeah, 617 text saying, does this mean that pro athletes should not be doing commercials for betting sites?
No, because those are contractually to do something totally different, right? They're not telling you to make a wager, or are they making a wager in real time? I mean, it's like, I don't want to use it as an example, but sometimes you could be a paid endorser and not really use the product that is in front of you. So, you know, you may find out that these guys don't even have an account for the commercials that they do commercials for. Then what?
Yeah, you know, and look, so, I get the common sense, like, part of the question, and, right. But, like, you could say, hey, this is the best site to bet on your favorite team or players. You don't have to say, this is the site I use to bet. Like, you can still say they're not allowed to bet. I mean, it does seem a little hypocritical, I know, but you could say they're not allowed to bet, and they could still do a commercial geared towards the fans, per se.
Right, right. Another text.
Another 617, does this mean if I'm a friend of a pro athlete, I can't invite him or her to my house for a poker game?
Well, you're going to have the mafia there with x-ray glasses?
Well, here's the thing.
Then I would say no.
What? Right. If
that's
you're
the
playing...
craziest part about this. Like, x-ray contact lenses, Cage? Like, was the CIA running these poker games? Like, damn.
Careful, John, because we'll both...
I know, that's true.
The Charles is only 10 feet deep. You know what I mean? I'm a six-foot guy.
Oh, I'm
I would
sure
hate for my feet.
Yeah, they won't
I'd hate
me.
For my feet to be sticking up. That means my head is in the mud.
And, you know, Fitzy does have the same Red Sox hat Whitey Bulger wore, so just saying.
Bro, do you remember when they found, like, a body underneath the new Dorchester police station some, like, 25 years? This is when I lived over in Hyde Park. And I was just like, they found remains under the police station? So
that's not good.
Let's not return to those days over some poker games. So the question to that is, if there's money being exchanged at your poker game, then technically it's illegal because it's a gambling situation, right?
Like that's a good point too. Like technically it is illegal if you're doing it at your house, right?
Right. So you shouldn't. So one, that good friend of yours needs to come through the back door through your cellar entrance. Two, don't have them bring friends. And three, if someone runs their mouth, oh, I'd really hate for you to lose that house and the rental income you were getting from the people living upstairs, downstairs from you, gone over a couple of $100 on a casino table. Like, yeah, technically, if you exchange cash at a game at home in a poker match and you get caught, that's an illegal gambling situation. All right, one more and then we'll get to Just the Jag.
603 text, be careful, KJ. Don't you know LeBron is a self-proclaimed king?
I mean, technically, there are no kings. So, like, LeBron is, and first of all, LeBron is not even the GOAT in his own sport. So, I've never been like, he's King James. I'm like, bro, I saw Jordan. You know, like, and there are people I could have a conversation with that would even go up against LeBron. You know, so, but yeah. So, I will be careful. Thank you so much for the heads up. You ready to do this, John?
Oh yeah.
Here it is.
I'm sorry that I said you were a Jag. Just a guy.
Oh, he's just a Jag.
Uh-huh.
Not great, not bad.
Yep.
Doesn't stand out on the field.
He might suck.
Oh, he's just a Jag. Not great, not bad. Just a guy out on the field.
All right, John, first one. Mike McDaniels, Miami Dolphins head coach.
Way below a Jag. We've talked just about him many times before. He is below a Jag as a head coach. Cool play designer, but below a Jag as a head coach.
Aaron Glenn, New York Jets.
So I'm going to give him Jag for now. I know it's 0-7 and just it looks really bad, but I do believe in him. They don't have a quarterback. I want him to have a little more time.
Joe Flacco.
So I'm going to go Jag here because he was bad with Cleveland, but he was great with Cincinnati, which is kind of the definition of a Jag. Let's see if he can do it for a few more weeks.
Wait, I say that boy's good.
Good.
Come on, man. You
terrible.
Like, look, you were on a team in your division the week before, and then the next week on national television, you make that new team suddenly look viable again? I cannot say that Joe Flacco's
a Jag. Do it for a few more weeks.
Dylan Gabriel threw for 116 yards in his only win last week.
Yeah, way below a Jag.
Just a guy.
Yeah, I'm good. You know what? I would really want him to continue the Jag theme going into tomorrow. So, yeah, just a guy. John Harbaugh has had a week off from coaching. What's the guy's name? Lamar Jackson? Mays? There'll be a question.
I think you got to ask. The last couple of years, John Harbaugh, coaching-wise, has been in the Jag neighborhood.
Just a guy.
And I know he's won a Super Bowl. He's been there a long time, but that team leads the league in penalties. They make silly mistakes. I mean, they should have made a Super Bowl within the last 3 years, and now they're 1-5.
I've been saying John Harbaugh has been living off of that one Super Bowl, and he's been Jag material consistently.
Just a guy.
Travis Hunter.
So, I think he's above a Jag. I mean, I know they're figuring out his role, and he's playing some opponents. He's good.
I totally agree. Only because they're believing that this guy may actually be a better receiver than he is a defender, and they've already got pretty good receivers. So that tells you right there, I think it's one of those iron sharpened iron. And plus, would you want to see Travis Hunter get hit, fumble the ball, then have to get up and be the defender on the very next play? Who do you think they're throwing at, right?
Yeah, probably him.
Exactly. C.J. Stroud, Houston Texans.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think he's just a guy right now. I mean, he's 23rd in the league in passing yards, 9 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. I mean, he had that great rookie year, but he's really regressed, and so has Houston since then.
How about all the people that were saying, take Jenty, take Jenty, take Jenty? Only 2 games rushing over 75 yards this year. Only 21 games yards rushing last week against the Chiefs.
Yeah, he's unfortunately right now in Jag territory. Just I think in the guy. Long term he'll get above it, but so far this year that's what he's been.
Yeah, right now he's just a guy, and they don't have any guys.
It's a bad team, too.
It is. Washington Commanders, everybody's sweetheart this year.
Yeah, the Jaden Daniels injuries made it tough. Like, I'm going to go Jag for them, but just a lot of it has to do with that Jaden Daniels injury. I mean, I think if he's fully healthy, they can get past that later in the year.
Yeah, I'm going to go Jag as well just because they haven't lived up to what they were supposed to be. And even with the injury, you just feel like even Dallas can give the NFC East more of a trouble than the Commanders. Like, the Commanders may be third in the East this year, and that's crazy to think considering they were in the NFC Championship game last year. The Tampa Bay Bucks, they're going to lose Mike Evans again for a considerable amount of time again. They starting to look Jaggish?
I'm going to still go above a Jag. I mean, I know Detroit really took it to them the other night, but I still think that's a really good team, and Baker Mayfield's a really good quarterback.
How about Alvin Kamara? His name has been mixed up in potential trade perspectives. 5 of his 7 games, he's rushed for 45 yards or less.
Yeah, I don't know what to... He's one of those guys, and I put Brandon Cooks in this category. I feel like they've been in the NFL for like 45 years, and they like still are. So I'm going to go Jag at this point. Like, he could very well be a Hall of Famer, but I think right now, like, in watching him against the Patriots, like, it just doesn't stand out right now.
Yeah, I'm gonna say he's above a Jag just because his quarterback is just asking for 11 men in the box. Right? So he's not getting any real great chances out there. Last one, Mac Jones.
Yeah, he's a Jag.
Just a guy.
He's look, they beat Atlanta. That was a good win the other night, but that was, I don't know. I felt like he was kind of along for the ride in that win.
I'm going to stick with Jag just as well, even though he's doing well. I'm still not convinced until he has to do it himself. And that is Just a Guy here on KJ and Lions. Next, Bruins, Celtics. Who's bringing the bigger heartache this year on WEEI? Thanks so much for hanging out.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life.
Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.